Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. And we head to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Charles Robinson to the program from Yahoo Sports. Charles, hope you had a wonderful Christmas. How are we doing? What's going on?
Doing well. Here to give Joe some more heartburn.
A lot of problems this morning.
Not possible. Maxed out.
Have you ever taken 3 Pepsi in an hour?
Need some spicy chicken, and I'm old.
Just impressed that you're listening to our show in the first segment.
Yeah, well, I'm also old and can't sleep.
I knew there had to be some explanation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing else I can do. I might as well listen to this show.
That may be the best endorsement for our program I've ever heard.
There's a drop. Let's save that one.
That might be the best thing I've ever heard. I have nothing else to do, so why not?
Cure insomnia. Here we go.
Oh, boys. Yeah. So,
Charles,
how are you guys doing this morning?
We're awesome. Even after the group text thread we had the other night watching Derrick Henry destroy the Green Bay Packers, I've somehow survived and moved through it. I do want to start there with you. Malik Willis, what do you think the opportunities are going to look like for him in terms of being a starting quarterback in the National Football League next year? What do you make of what he's done for himself in Green Bay?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore. There's no doubt. And it's funny because it's probably about 10 days ago, I put together sort of a list of, the potential quarterback migration this off season, looking at, who are these guys that are going to be in play. And I sat there for a while and I left Malik off the list. I think it was just because I was like, how long do I want to make this list? But I definitely regret that because heading toward free agency, I think part of the question I had was, how much of an opportunity are we going to see him get through the remainder of the season? How is he going to look, in those opportunities? He's obviously looked fantastic. Matt LaFleur has, turned him over in a way that is shocking to me. I mean, this is the guy that I think was the debatable prospect, coming into the draft out of Liberty. There were some teams that really liked him. There were others that thought, this is a sixth or seventh round, quarterback prospect. Here's what I think is really interesting about this. I think he has played his way into, if you have a franchise out there who's sitting there and they're staring at a quarterback situation saying, we like to bring in somebody and, have a player to compete potentially for our job. I think he's now on that list. And now it depends what offense you run. And this is where I think it gets interesting. The offense that is being run in Green Bay is similar to the offense in some ways to the offense that's being run in Minnesota. And I think Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, he spent time in Cleveland, and I can tell you that, Andrew Berry, the general manager of the Cleveland Browns, he really liked Malik Willis coming into the draft. And it makes me curious, if Andrew really liked him, has Kwesi had a positive opinion of Malik Willis and just thought this is a guy that ultimately needs development? Because next season, it's hard for me to believe the Minnesota Vikings aren't going to bring in another quarterback this offseason and go, we need somebody to compete with J.J. McCarthy. We need, we would love J.J. McCarthy to be our starting quarterback. For all intents and purposes, we still believe we drafted this guy to be the cornerstone of our franchise. He's had flashes of doing that, but we have to bring in somebody to push him and potentially, win this job if J.J. cannot make the strides and stay healthy that we need heading into the 2026 season. Now I wonder if Malik might be that guy. And if you're Malik Willis, I don't think you're going to have anybody out there who's just going to outright say, hey, you're our starter. Let's just turn over our team to you. I know I've seen some people kind of paint him into Pittsburgh with the Steelers. I just don't see anybody flat out handing him the keys. But I do see some teams potentially, looking at him and saying, we think you can be a competitive player we can bring in. And if you win the job, if you show that you've grown as a player and that what you've done under Matt LaFleur with the Packers, if this is real, we're more than happy being comfortable with you as our starting quarterback. I just think, you know, Minnesota has sort of set itself up in that vein. I don't know that Minnesota wants to bring in a, you know, when I say somebody to compete, I don't think they want to bring in somebody, you know, 30 plus years. I don't think they want to go back to the Kirk Cousins well at this stage of his career and have that be the alternative. I think they'd like to have a young quarterback who has some upside. I think that's part of why they really would have liked to have gotten Daniel Jones to return to their team this year. And just interesting enough, I mean, Daniel Jones probably would have won that job by the end of September, you know, by mid October, Daniel Jones would have been the starting quarterback of the Vikings. But Willis is really, I'm surprised because I never thought, you know, even the flashes that we saw prior to this with the Packers, I was like, ah, how real is that? You know, how sustainable is it? And I've been nothing but impressed when he's gotten his opportunities. Now, can he stay healthy? There's another question for you. But as far as like the arm, his ability to run, you know, RPO schemes, clearly he's shown he can be that dual threat quarterback. That some teams really thought he could be coming into the draft. He's been fantastic in Green Bay. And I'll say this, no matter what, he set himself up for he's going to be a well-paid backup quarterback at the very least. But I think the ceiling now is looking a little bit higher. You guys got to be shocked, right? I mean, this is a guy that, like, I remember being in practice standing next to you, Joe, and Mike Vrabel was screaming at him about – not just being slow, you know, like, come on, fast, pick it up, fast, go, like, hurry up, like, get the snap off. Like, I'm like, he can't even get the snap off. And then when he would get the snap off, I'm like, it's like an instant sack. He was, like, running himself into sacks, looked like, you know, he wasn't reading, you know, defenses. He looked, his, you know, clock was, once the snap was off, he looked way out of whack, like, his way sped up. He was doing everything way too, you know, out of sync with what was going on the field. And I it's remarkable to me the strides he's made in Green Bay.
No, me too. Yeah, he's one read and the eyes go down, and that was yep. Consistently a thing. He was better in that last camp, but still not. I mean, when they moved him, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And hopefully he can be a backup. And he is probably LaFleur's genius more than anything, but you got to give Malik a lot of credit. That's right, Robbie. You got to give Malik a lot of credit for his own improvement too. It's pretty amazing. All right, another quarterback I want to ask you about, Lamar Jackson. I mean, this is it. It's pretty cool that we have this game. He's got to play here, right? And what are the stakes of this game beyond division winner? We've talked with you at different times about both of these coaches.
Sure.
Are there stakes to that degree, possibly?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it matters for both Tomlin and Harbaugh here. And, you know, with Lamar, I mean, we'll find out by Wednesday. We're going to have a pretty good idea. You know, there's supposed to be an update from John Harbaugh by Wednesday on his health. It felt like it improved last week, so it's hard for me to see him sitting out this game knowing it's a play-in game. But, you know, let's not forget, I mean, it wasn't that long ago that, you know, he sat out a playoff game against Cincinnati, right? I mean, that was only a couple of years ago, and I never thought that would ultimately occur. The Lamar thing has just been, you know, there's the panic button because of what gets written about him, obviously, in the market there about, you know, is he falling asleep in meetings? You know, what are all these other things that he's doing that are showing some level of immaturity, and, you know, and the Ravens want to see this ultimately change with him. I try to remind people, like, we've been at these lows with Lamar before. I mean, it was, you know, a couple of years ago when he had the ankle injury down the stretch, and people were saying, like, is he purposely sitting out? Like, how bad is this ankle injury? Is he purposely tanking just because he wants off the team? Is this tied to a contract extension? Then it happened with a knee injury a couple of years. I think it was 2023. It happened with a knee injury, and it's always turns into this, like, Lamar doesn't want to be here, it seems like, or it's contract related, or, you know, he's holding out. It's not an injury, and a lot of this, I think, happens because of the fact that Lamar doesn't have an agent. And whenever you know, someone sours on him in the franchise or there's frustration, that comes out, and then there's no counter narrative. Unless Lamar wants to go to social media, and sometimes he's been direct with it, sometimes he's been very cryptic with it, but he lacks the platform, frankly, that every other star in the NFL with an agent has. When an injury occurs, so let's say any guy's playing through an injury over the course of the season, that agent or someone else, whoever their point person is in their circle, is telling media members, hey, he's playing through something right now. He's got a hamstring injury. He's trying to get through this. Here are these other, you know, things that he's dealing with. That never happens with Lamar. It's just like silence. So you start to hear the griping that comes out of the franchise, whether it's about his diet, his practice regimen. Oh, he's an insular player, particularly in the off season. He's not around the team a lot. He's not around teammates. And then you never hear the other side of it. So you're left to count on guessing, right? Maybe there's this person in his orbit who, you know, has this little piece of information, or maybe Lamar will say something to you in a press conference, and it just looks horrible. And I know the thing for Lamar is, over the length of his career, there's not really been consequence because he's won MVPs on the field. So he's like, hey, I've won MVPs. Like, it can't be that bad. Oh, hey, look at my contract. I signed. I was the highest paid player in the NFL briefly when I did do my extension. So how did I lose in that respect? I'm playing the quarterback position, which maybe teams wanted me to show them if I could be a wide receiver going in the draft. I said, screw you. I'm going to use my own quarterback coach that, you know, you don't know who he is. And I'm going to tell you, I'm only going to, you know, work at quarterback. I'm a quarterback in the NFL. Everything's worked for him. He, you know, he's sort of played his hand and he's won over the course of his career. But you keep running into these instances where it's like, you know, he's not playing well. He's clearly been injured all season. And then it's, you know, is he playing video games? Is it this? Is it that? Is it his diet? You know, is he just a big kid who can't, just be an adult and a professional at this point in his career? Oh, is it his body? You know, he turns 29 next month. And I actually think that's real. He turns 29 next month. And I think the level of play, I think if you're the Ravens, you're scared because you're going, we really need to sign him to a contract extension. We need to work on this. But has he taken the amount of accrued hits now over the course of his career? Because he's sort of a pseudo running back quarterback, where we're getting into that territory, there's a cliff coming. And Lamar wants a fully guaranteed contract. The union has kind of let that out the last couple of years, that, hey, when Lamar does his next extension, he's going to push for like a Deshaun Watson fully guaranteed deal. If you're the Ravens, you don't want to give him that, because you're like, is this season, is it an example of those accrued hits and the punishment he's taken? And are we going to be on the hook if 2026 comes around and it's that Cam Newton off the cliff year, where you're like, oh no, he really might be done now. The depreciating asset of his running is now off the table, can't really be used consistently. And now, you know, we have this player where what made him so dynamic is no longer, you know, on the table necessarily. So I think there's some fear there too. But as you asked about the Steelers game, yeah, I mean, I think it has implications. I think if the Steelers lose that game and you bottom out, it can go one of two ways. They could blame the DK Metcalf suspension and say the league cut our knees out when we needed this player who we could have used at the end of that, you know, Cleveland game in the red zone. It was glaring when you go to, you know, Marquez Valdez Scantling three times and there's no DK Metcalf on the field. You effectively, you know, you effectively destroy us. And then the flip side of that coin is just, this is what the Steelers were. This was the gambit they ran all season long. They pushed everything on to Aaron Rodgers. They've never really been a dynamic team. They've not really been consistent. And, you know, how much more of this do you ultimately want to do with Mike Tomlin? I still think Tomlin would have to leave. I just don't see the Rooneys firing Mike Tomlin. I think you'd have to say, hey, I think it's time for a change. And then, you know, you'd see that change. As far as the Ravens, you know, I think Harbaugh's just a little more complicated because of how this has unfolded. And I personally believe it's more likely that they would go through 2026 with Harbaugh and Lamar. They take this one more year to kind of see where it goes, because the team hasn't stopped fighting. I think, for Harbaugh, and you saw that in the Green Bay game, right? Like, if they come out and it's like the RV's park, you know, running in the parking lot, and they're just like, yeah, we're done, we're not going to fight, you know, for this opportunity to get in the playoffs, then you're concerned. But then they came out against Green Bay, and you're like, okay, this actually kind of seems like it's a dangerous team. Like, now if they beat the Steelers in the finale and you look at the rest of the AFC, I don't know. I'll ask you guys. You saw that game. You saw how Derrick Henry played. If you get Lamar back in the fold and you win against the Steelers, and Harbaugh steps in front of his team and he says, you know what, we were Super Bowl favorites before the season started. We were in that group. Forget everything that's happened before this. Like, let's just – it's done. That's gone. It's 0-0 now. We get to start fresh. And who scares us, realistically, in the AFC? Why couldn't we be the, you know, 9-7 Giants in, what was it, 2011, who run the table and go and win a Super Bowl? We can do that this year. That's the kind of year it is in the NFL. Do you guys think that's possible?
Yes, yeah, I do. 100%. Yeah. You'd be right.
I totally agree with that. So, speaking of the AFC, it felt like, Charles, it was pretty close, the MVP race between Stafford and Drake May, and then Stafford last night throws three picks. Rams aren't going to win in the division. So, number one, has Drake May wrapped up MVP in your mind? And number two, how do you put into scope what Drake May has done this year in year two, elevating his play and his team to the level in which he has?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, unfortunately, we, because of how every week, you know, gambling has permeated the NFL, we get this kind of weekly, who's in the lead for the MVP? And I can tell, I mean, I can't say everybody operates like this, but I do feel like I have a vote for MVP. I know a number of the other voters. I think for the most part, everyone does not operate off of recency bias. Obviously, how it, you know, how a person finishes at the end matters. But I think people sit down and they look at the totality of the resume. They sit there and they go, okay, look, it's not just about the statistics. It's not just about the advanced analytics. Let's look at the quality wins that this player had over the course of the season. Let's see how they played in the big games that were needed over the course of the season. And so when Stafford has the night that he has, and, you know, you listen to, you know, the analysts in that game, you know, Tirico and Collinsworth, it's there's this whole, like, he's an MVP candidate, and you know, oh, now he's throwing three interceptions, and Drake May had this monster game, you know, through half of three and a half quarters, and he throws five touchdowns. So does that mean, you know, Drake May's in lead? I don't think voters really look at it that way, where it's just like, oh, it's so neck and neck. It seems that way because of the betting lines every week. Oh, this person slid up, this person slid down. I think it matters, obviously, the way Stafford played. I mean, he's, you know, just to have him turn the ball over like that in a key game that they really, really needed, you know, particularly coming off of what happened against Seattle. Now, he didn't have anything to do, you know, Seattle, he balled out. It's not like he had anything to do with the mistakes in the Seattle game. It'll be put, I think, in the calculation ultimately. And I would say that the way Drake May has played down the stretch has certainly helped him considerably. But you know, also, here's my thing. When you're going to sit down, you're going to look at Drake May and you're going to say, you know, what he's done, is that so special in year two, particularly when you go from last to first, playing for Mike Vrabel. And by the way, playing for Josh McDaniels is not easy. You look at the surrounding cast, not as good, clearly, as what Matt Stafford is dealing with in Los Angeles. Plus, Stafford's got, you know, McVay, who's had a lot of success with quarterbacks over the course of his career. You know, do you give Drake May some extra credit? That goes to, you know, how each voter looks at this. I think it's about quality wins, though. When I sit here and I go, okay, let me see over the course of the Patriots season, you know, their schedule, frankly, it's not the strongest schedule. Like, let's just be honest about that. Like, they've beaten, you know, some teams throughout the year that are weak, you know, have not been playoff caliber teams. Some of them look a little bit better now when you consider, like, okay, the Carolina Panthers are still in it. You know, obviously the Buffalo Bills are what they are, but, you know, but like the Saints, the win over the Saints a month ago, you're like, that's not, I mean, there's no something really impressive there. Now, it wasn't Tyler Shough, you know, when you beat the Saints, but now that looks a little more impressive as the season's gone on because the Saints have been resilient. But look, when you're beating the, you know, you're killing the Jets, right? No one is impressed with a Jets win at this stage of the season. I don't think anybody's impressed with a Giants win at this stage of the season. You know, the Ravens win, like how much stock do you put in that? Even though the Ravens are still fighting to get into the playoffs. Whereas if you look at the Rams, NFC West is a bloodbath, right? I mean, it's just a very, very difficult division. The Rams have played a multitude of other difficult teams outside of their division. And so I think that really gets weighed into it. I can't call it now. I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't really like to, I have a list of people I'm going to call throughout the league who have faced them, you know, common opponents. The Falcons faced both. I think the Panthers faced them both. And I want to hear from some people in those organizations about what it's like to prepare for each of these guys and what they thought in terms of MVP caliber play, you know, where they stand. But definitely stunning to kind of see what unfolded with the Rams, not only against the Seahawks, but then to spot a very mediocre Atlanta Falcons team, 21 points. I mean, like when I watch Kirk Cousins now at this point, I'm like, man, it's a hard watch at times. And for the Rams defense to play the way that it did and Stafford to turn the ball over, at least for a portion of that game, is certainly more concerning than I thought. And by the way, wouldn't you guys, you're sitting there and you're going, how much do they have to play for? This is the fifth seed versus the sixth seed. You definitely want to be the fifth seed, right? Because you want to play the AFC South, NFC South winner, right? You absolutely want to play the NFC South winner and none of the top three seeds in the NFC.
Yeah, no doubt. I was pretty stunned by last night. So, Charles, the Raiders, quite a tank there from the front office. So, Tom Brady, along with being a mediocre, but better than Drew Brees, announcer, now gets to, I guess he gets to go draft a QB, huh? Brady and Fernando Mendoza, you know, a partnership made in heaven coming up here. And what's up with the tank and Max Crosby and all that crap?
How about you send Max Crosby home and you go, yeah, his knee's messed up. And then Max Crosby's like, here's me playing basketball. Let me go on post.
Yeah, I'm squatting 800 pounds on these knees. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm like, yeah, only in the Raiders organization. It's certainly not a good look. I mean, you know, Crosby really does need, you know, knee surgery. So there's not going to be any. I've seen some people are like, hey, is there going to be some kind of league repercussions? It's clear they shut him down when he didn't want to be shut down. But I mean, look, he does need a knee cleanup. He needed it, I think, since October. There's like been meniscus damage, and that gives the Raiders a solid leg to stand on. They can say now, if the Raiders go into the offseason and Max Crosby is instantaneously available via trade, then it's a little harder to argue. We're presuming for our future versus, hey, we're shutting him down because we want to get the top pick and then, you know, deal Crosby in the offseason. That's going to be, you know, an ugly look. I still think, just knowing how Mark Davis operates, he really wants Crosby moving forward, but I think he also wants to not have to trade up to the number one slot in the draft if they see the quarterback they like, which I believe they must. They have to. I just don't see you operating this way if you're looking at the draft class and saying there's not, you know, a quarterback there who we absolutely believe we can build around and is worthy of being taken number one overall. I would think that's Mendoza. I haven't, as I told you, Joe, when we were texting, I haven't taken a deep dive into these quarterbacks yet, and I still think there's a lot of separation that can take place in the draft process. Like Dante Moore is scary to me just because of the lack of ever since Trey Lance was like the severe off, like I mean, it was so severe, the number of games he had not played in college and in high school. But Dante Moore just, I feel like, needs another season of starts in the very surface level conversations I've had with executives maybe over the last month, just texting back and forth on like Saturdays. I think there is a feel like, hey, it would be great if Dante Moore went back one more year and got another year under his belt. I think, though, the prevailing feeling is that he'll end up coming out, and some team's going to have to sit there, maybe it's the Raiders, and say, okay, like, how much more talented is he than Fernando Mendoza? And, you know, what's Mendoza's ceiling? Is it Kirk Cousins? Like, if that says, I hate that comp, man. When I hear that, I'm like, this is not a guy I want to take at number one overall. When you're sitting there telling me he can be a Kirk Cousins player for me, that's not what I picture the number one, you know, quarterback being in a draft. But, you know, Brady was a guy that I think a lot of people thought had a limited ceiling even throughout his career. I mean, he was never a running quarterback. He's never going to be like an RPO guy. There wasn't a lot of sexiness to his game other than his ability to compete, lead players, make the right decisions. Well, that's a lot of what Mendoza brings to the table in Indiana. And it's certainly going to be interesting. And I mean, you guys, I focus so much on the NFL during the season. I focus a lot more on the college stuff, particularly as it pertains to the draft once the season's over. You think Mendoza's clearing away the number one? Let's say Moore goes in the draft. You think Mendoza, there's no way Dante Moore can in the draft?
No, I don't think there's no way. I mean, that's exactly what happens during these things is people talk themselves right into a higher ceiling. And sure. So, no, I think it's possible. But, I mean, it seems right now like Mendoza is the consensus top guy. But, yeah, he may be close to his ceiling.
And I'll ask you this. Remember, the Raiders – it's been classically a dysfunctional franchise, right? It's a place where you can ruin guys very easily. Like, you're going in and things don't work for a multitude of reasons. To this day, I still believe, had Jamarcus Russell gone somewhere else and gotten with the right general manager, the right head coach, someone who could be there when, you know, things started to happen in his family and it affected him mentally, I still think Russell could have been a great NFL player. Instead, he went to the Raiders. Akili Smith went to the Bengals. I mean, there's just guys where you're like, when you go into certain situations, you know it's gonna wreck them. Between Dante Moore and Fernando Mendoza, you think Mendoza probably is the least wreckable, right, of the two to go into the Raiders situation, right? That's got to be the belief.
No, I would totally agree. Yep. Totally agree with that. Charles, happy New Year to you. By the time we talk to you next, we'll be deep into Titans head coaching search mode. So prepare yourself for that. Very much looking forward to it.
Draft and offseason. Joe, stay away from the spicy chicken. Ian, congratulations on the fantasy football win.
Thank you, Charles.
And you guys can count on me listening to the show every time I sleep 2 hours a night.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
We'll take
good
it.
Good stuff.
We'll take it.
Thank you, Charles.
All right, guys. Have a happy new year.
You as safe. Well.
You too.
Charles Robinson, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots to react to there. We'll do that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. College football game of the week is number 10 Miami taking on number 2 Ohio State in the college football playoff. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game tomorrow night at 6:30. Coverage presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky and also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Appreciate Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for being with us in the last segment. A lot of stuff going on in the NFL right now. The Pittsburgh-Baltimore outcome going to be very interesting here. Yes, for the winning team and what they could do heading into the playoffs, but for the loser, when you miss out on the playoffs, what happens with that coach at that point? You heard Charles say there that he still doubts that Pittsburgh would actually fire Mike Tomlin, but could there be, you know, a parting of ways? Could Mike Tomlin decide it's time to head somewhere else at some point after nearly 20 years there? You have to throw that out there. And then Harbaugh, like, what's going on with him? Like, if they end up missing the playoffs, what does the future look like with Harbaugh? I tend to agree that I'd probably expect Harbaugh to be there at least one more year and then see how it goes with him and Lamar again together. But you never know in this league. So the loser of that game, going to be a lot of eyeballs on what happens with their coach after that.
Yeah. I still think it's unlikely that either guy goes somewhere else or is let go or is or agrees to leave, whatever. You know, it would be whatever, however the divorce would technically go. I have my doubts. And I think maybe I actually think it's more likely with Tomlin, just in terms of you know, maybe like again for even for him, it's like a fresh start actually makes sense, even though he's in the most stable and as storied a franchise as there is. You know, I could see that. I think it absolutely makes sense that Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson would have another year, see if you can keep it healthy, see if you can get it going. But also, I think the concerns about that health are very real, and that's a real thing. I mean, if he can't, if he isn't going to be that level of threat, and you're just trying to keep him in the pocket, it's just he's so much, obviously just so much less of a weapon. So I think that's interesting. Also, I agree that the Ravens are, if they win this game, man, and like Lamar comes back and plays and he's okay. The Ravens are the Ravens and Bills both. You know, I look at them both wild card teams, and it's like I think one of them is going to go to the Super Bowl.
Maybe. I mean, the Ravens defense is atrocious, so yeah. There is that. Yeah. I mean, that's a big problem that they have.
They're kind of feast or famine. Yeah. You know, they do make plays. They have a great player in Hamilton, but yeah, it's certainly not
is Lamar's going to play. We think this week.
Well, I mean, I can't. I'd be shocked if he doesn't try.
Yeah.
Be shocked.
Yeah, hell, you would think he'd try.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, it sounds terrible, like a deep contusion in your back.
It does not sound.
You don't want. Certainly, doesn't sound like a game you'd want to run a lot.
But again, like now, like you know, I agree with you that if whoever the 5 seed ends up being, if you look around and it's like, oh great, we get to play the Ravens, like that doesn't sound fun. But also, like right now, the 5 seed is Houston, and the 4, whether it's Baltimore or Pittsburgh, they're probably like. Yeah, I don't really love the idea of playing against that defense either. So I don't know. Like it's gonna it could be. I don't think it'll be this way because I think Houston's probably gonna win and get that 5 seed. The Chargers are sitting Herbert against Denver. They're probably gonna lose, which means they'll probably drop down to the 7. Buffalo, we'll see what they do with Allen. You know, he had the X-ray on the foot this week, but what are they gonna do when it comes to who they play and who they don't play this week? But it could be, you know, Buffalo versus Baltimore in the first round, conceivably, if the Ravens win and Buffalo bumps up to the 5, like if Riley Leonard sneaks up and beats Houston or something like that.
It's like the best game of the entire playoffs is right there. You know, you talk about Houston. So, obviously, we've been talking about them earlier in the show. Great defense, really dangerous team. But see, Baltimore, when it's operating its offense, that is the antidote to what Houston does, right? You got two people you have to worry about running the ball, and then you can rush Lamar Jackson all you want. He can do – I mean, like, that's the type of team that would make that defense look bad, whereas traditional offenses have had very little success against it.
Yep. Harry Middle Henry says, I'd be willing to give a year's salary for Mike Tomlin to leave Pittsburgh, come to Tennessee – only to have him give Kuharski the death stare in a press conference. And I say that loving Paul. This is from Harry Middle Henry. Yeah, I mean, there would be some potential for magic there with Kuharski and Tomlin, for sure.
There would be. By the way, what's Kuharski? We can ask him tomorrow. This weird, like he keeps tweeting, like, Mike McCoy's awful and he needs to be fired. It's like, dude, calm down. You really think he's getting the job or something? He keeps tweeting about Mike McCoy. What is his deal?
I don't know.
Also,
they're playing good football right
speaking
now.
Of magic, did you see the Vrabel clip that people are? Oh yeah, it's like when they're up 35-3.
Oh yeah.
He's like, fart him.
Yeah.
Says that about the Jets. Fart him. And Drake May's like, oh my goodness, what did he say? Oh my goodness, what did he say? He has issues with class.
Well, I watched some of that game, and I think had they wanted to, Drake May could have thrown 9 touchdowns in that game if they kept him in the whole time.
That's a good way to jump ahead in the MVP race. Have that and then have Stafford do what he did in the last game. So, yeah. Real quick, I do want to bring this point up just to go back to the rant because, like Mark, someone brought up, like, yeah, I'll take Pavia and Aaron Hernandez and, like, going through all these, like, criminals. You know, Mark H. is like, well, I mean, you know, this guy with, I want to make sure I have the my brain is shutting off right now, if you guys can't tell. I have the term, the guy with off the field issues. Like, you know, like off, he said F the voters. It was a bad look. That does not constitute off-the-field issues. He should not be lumped in with criminals and murderers.
Now, his brothers would qualify as off-the-field issues.
Yeah, I mean, his brothers got
running
some trouble.
Running from the police.
Sure. Yeah.
That would qualify.
I mean, we want to go around to, you know, everybody in sports and see if everybody in their family has a clean criminal record. Yeah. That'd be a fun exercise.
I did see the video. I hadn't seen it in a while of Baker Mayfield when he was in college getting absolutely spiked on the sidewalk by the police.
Yeah.
I saw that was back on the feed the other day. That was fun.
Yeah, there you go. Off the
field. Wow, he got hit really hard. head went right on the concrete. He's all right, though.
There's also that video of him dancing, which is really great.
Yeah, that's good stuff. 615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line. We will do that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts on our text line. Now, join us at T-Line at 106 Duluth Avenue in Nashville tomorrow for a Vanderbilt football watch party as they take on Iowa in the ReliaQuest Bowl at 11 a.m. Great food, prizes, and plenty of fun while you cheer on the Commodores. That's tomorrow at T-Line in Nashville. Anchor down. Vanderbilt football watch party coming up tomorrow. We'll see if they can close out the Diego Pavia era in style, taking on what everybody loves to watch, the Iowa Hawkeyes. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, one texter says, do you think the Titans are likely to target the boring offensive coordinator / defensive coordinator candidates, or will they wait for perhaps a surprise exit from Tomlin and try to make a splash? What should you be hoping for as a Titans fan?
Well, the Tomlin thing, if it were to happen, I think the only way that happens is if they lose this week anyways. You're not waiting long,
I would assume.
So you're going to lose this week, and you're out, and there you go. So I think if they win and they go in, it's just – I think that makes it less likely, right?
Yes.
And I think you're – if there is a wait on Tomlin or Harbaugh, I'm not waiting if I'm another team. I'm not holding my breath.
Well, no, and I would assume that the Titans process is going to – I mean, number one, it's been started, but officially when this thing wraps up on Sunday, come Monday morning, it's time to go, right? Like, it's time to go find your coach. And, you know, I know they've been working on what their strategy is going to be, I'm sure, for months at this point in terms of their interviews and narrowing that stuff down and what that's going to look like. There's a piece that Dan Pompey put together that I'm sure we'll get to tomorrow on the Matt Nagy part of this and the connection with Mike Borgonzi and all those things. So, you know, how long are you waiting? First off, as I've said multiple times, if a John Harbaugh or a Mike Tomlin become available, I don't know how high up the list the Tennessee Titans job is going to be for them. I don't think very high. Now, unless one of them just look at Cam Ward and it's just like, well, that's it. That's my ticket to a Super Bowl right there.
Yeah, and I just that's not a reasonable opinion to have. Again, not saying Cam Ward can't work out, can't turn into a good quarterback, but I don't think anybody's going to look at this year and say, oh, absolutely, hitching my wagon to that. I think you have an open mind, but there are going to be more attractive jobs in all likelihood that are out there. One of them would not be the Raiders, in my opinion, but hey, Tom Brady, you know.
Maybe he'll coach.
Yeah, he was a really
good
player.
Could you be an owner, coach, and a broadcaster all at the same time?
Yeah, maybe. GM.
I mean, I feel like he's probably kind of that anyway.
Head scout.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. You know, he's been cloning dogs, so does he clone himself?
Oh, it's like that. What was that movie? Multiplicity. Was that like Michael Keaton?
Yeah.
Just Tom Brady brings it to real life. Amazing thought. I had a thought, and it's gone.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited that I didn't completely screw the show up, though.
I am, too.
Yeah, pretty shocking.
Austin says, it's sad that the Patriots may win another Super Bowl. Really don't see a team healthy that's better than they are. It makes me wonder why Amy just didn't let him do what he wanted to do for one more year just to see what would happen.
Well, there's going to be a lot of, holy crap, Amy. I think there already has been. And in the future, there will be more of, good God, why did you fire Vrabel? That was my point, by the way. Thank you, Austin, for bringing it up. So I did not see the piece. Jonathan Jones wrote something about Amy Adams Strunk. I did not see the piece. I saw something on social media, which I think probably was related to it, and I think it's basically like potential coaches are wary of.
I don't think there's anything about that report that isn't what
did you read it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's about her reputation isn't the greatest with everybody she's fired. I don't think that's news to anyone.
No, that's really not breaking news. I mean, that's a problem. It is a problem for the Titans. If they're in a battle for a particular candidate that they like a lot, the questions about ownership, absolutely. How would you not have those questions if you're a coaching candidate or if you're the agent of that coach? You'd have major questions about that, and you're never going to get answers, but it's a risk. It's more of a risk because of her. So that's the reality, and that's where you mentioned the Pompey piece on Nagy. We'll get into that tomorrow. But that's where someone like that who at least has a relationship with your front office, maybe that – takes away a little bit of that, minimizes the concerns, because at least you feel good about who you'll be working with. And if you have real, it's like, look, me and you, real talk, like, she's letting us run it, so let's go. Then, you know, that's the kind of stuff you can have if you have a relationship, whereas if you're just a coach applying for the job, you know, you can't. Of course, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, but can you believe it?
I saw the updated odds again the other day, betting odds for the next Titans coach. Matt Nagy's still at the top. McCarthy's still number two. We'll see how it goes.
I feel like McCarthy. That's another thing too. It's like McCarthy in the NFL reporters when they're listing things. No one ever lists McCarthy.
I know,
but he's listed.
But he's number two
he's
on
number
the odds.
Two in Vegas.
Yeah.
So who's right?
It's a good question.
Vegas is just because it makes sense, so people will bet on it, right?
Yeah.
So that's why he's there.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that Vegas knows a damn thing, because Vegas is always right. It's actually one of the dumbest things ever said.
They are right often, though, because they get a lot
well,
of
they win.
Lot of buildings.
Yeah. The house wins.
Yeah.
But that's because they get people to bet stupid crap.
That is true. Music City Bowl coming up this afternoon, Joe. Tennessee taking on Illinois. I'm interested to see if Tennessee's defense can make, like, four stops in this game, see if that happens or not. The secondary would be concerning. What is the most interesting thing you're looking for between Tennessee and Illinois today?
Yeah, we mentioned, I think those young receivers, like Travis Smith is a guy who – I think there's some real excitement there. You want to see those guys make some plays, and some of the young DBs. I mean, I think that's it. To me, it's young players. You want to win. I think it's really important. I think it's a really important game for Josh Heupel to go out with a win, with a good feeling, which would be, by the way, his best win of the season. This would be their clear best win of the season, beating Illinois.
Yep.
And I think that. It's a bowl game. We know what bowl games are now. You know, there's some limitations, but it doesn't mean they're not important, especially I think if a fan base is a little bit irritated with a coach, this would be a big deal for him to get this win, I think.
I think so, too. We'll see if he's equipped to do it. Some young wide receivers going to be out there. A lot of freshmen at corner, which could be interesting in this game. We'll see how that goes. And then tomorrow we get some college football playoff games starting. So. Big couple of days of college football coming up.
It is beautiful. And we get Kuharsky.
We do. Happy birthday to you.
I hate Mike McCoy so much.
Looking forward to Kuharsky being in with us tomorrow. That does it for us today. Hope everybody has a great rest of their day. Next man up with Jake Lyman up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.